a lesson they should teach in school. When a girl gets curvy and the boys all drool. If math and science just ain't your style, just give that teacher a wink and a smile. For a passing grade, you won't have to wait. And you can thank him later when you graduate. Cause I never met a wolf who didn't love to howl. No, I never met a man who wasn't on the prowl.
Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of the Smashcast, a podcast about NBC's new show, Smash. I'm Dan.
And I'm Dylan.
And today we're talking about episodes 3 and 4, entitled...
Oh, Enter Mr. DiMaggio and The Cost of Art.
Yay. Alright, so Dylan, you had something
else. Yeah, first of all, guys, Jack Davenport. I didn't realize it was him. I was all excited last time because I was naming all these, you know, British actors and stuff, and I completely missed him. He was Commodore, like, Norrington in Parts of the Caribbean. I'm very upset.
And I, now that you say that, I completely already knew that, and I just forgot to mention it. So
Now that I think about it, I'm like, it's so obvious.
Yeah.
His voice.
His voice is incredibly distinct, so that is pretty funny.
That's Derek, guys, by the way.
Yeah. Derek, but he doesn't look the same at all. He doesn't
look like a, you know, British soldier.
Well, I mean, his thickest face to me, like, he's aged.
Yeah, he has.
Is he pretty old now? Like, I have trouble seeing how old that
is. He's gotta be in, like, his 40s.
Yeah.
Can't be that old.
Alright, well, I just wanted to check in, so, now, I mean, we're talking about the first 4 episodes now, and, I just want to know what you think about how the show's doing overall right now, like where it's heading, how you feel about it.
Yeah, at first I was a little worried. I wasn't sure if it was going to be good. Episode 3, even, I was still pretty worried.
Yeah.
Episode 4, though, I'm really starting to like the show. I can see, as long as it stays in this direction, I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, overall, I feel like every week is an enjoyable episode. I do feel like... It doesn't have, like, a goal, and I'm sort of missing that. I don't know, do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Like, there's no... Now that they've cast everyone, it's just kind of, like, things happening.
I need a message for the whole, like, everyone needs to come together for one message.
Yeah, or, like, I want, like... I mean, I guess the goal is getting it on Broadway, but I have no, like, feelings at all that it won't get on Broadway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I need some more.
There's no, like, this is what we're aiming for. So right now it's just like, oh, there are things happening in people's lives. They're upset. And the other thing is that it's not, like, really last. The things that are happening are kind of, like, episode to episode. Like, the Eileen storyline with her, like, needing money is over, it seems. I mean, like, I'm sure, like, her and her husband will still have issues. But, like, that seems like that's done. And, like, I don't know. And this, like, little...
Yeah, nothing's lasting very long.
I mean, Karen's, like, our main character. In episode 3 and 4, she has these little one-off mini-arcs within the episodes. She's not, like... And even, I mean, like, Dev's ongoing thing is, will he get this promotion that has nothing to do with anything else? Why do I care exactly? And same thing, sort of like, and because I don't really care about, I mean, I'm looking at this more later too, because I don't care about Julia, I don't care about this weird, like, affair storyline either. So.
We're not as close to the character. I mean, it's 4 episodes. We don't know the characters well enough for them to just switch around so often.
Well, I mean, the people I care about, there are people that I legitimately like, and that, I mean, I like Karen, I like Dev.
I love Dev.
And I, especially, I mean, I don't want to talk about episode 5 yet, but episode 5 made me really like Tom a lot. I think Tom is one of my favorites. And I like Ellis, and I like, and I enjoy watching Derek. I think it's mostly Julia that's an issue for me.
Yeah,
I mean, the other thing is I'm getting worried about is the music, because, and I know that, I mean, I'm just getting worried that we're getting too many of the same kinds of numbers from the musical. Because, I mean, okay, so episode 3 has a little departure from that with that, like, little ballady ending song.
Yeah,
but,
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, well, we can get to the detail. But, I mean, right now we have, National Pastime, The Foxtrot one, the Fox thing, I'll was a sort of separate idea, even though it is like another big dance number, like thing, like happy dance.
But it's an introduction, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, at least it's like a different style of music and beat and stuff. So I'll give it. But National Pastime, the Howl one, and again, I don't want to talk too much about episode 5, but that one has another one, and they all sort of blend together to me at this point. Mm-hmm. They're all just these big like numbers about her liking sex. And with a lot of people dancing around her as she talks about how she likes sex in a peppy manner.
Yeah.
And that kind of worries me.
Mm-hmm.
But, again.
I'm happy those songs are prevailing over the ones that are all, like, telling and not showing. Like, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's like a paragraph instead of a song.
Yeah.
It's really annoying. And I'm glad those are, like, kind of fading away and we're getting more... You know, just musical pieces, something just fun and upbeat, and you can listen to it, and you can sing along, and it's not a problem.
I guess my problem is that because it's like one style of music, even if it's all just blending together to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Like I enjoyed it the first couple episodes, but if it continues, and I'm not at the breaking point yet.
Yeah,
I'm getting worried that like if they just do like four or five more songs that are just like peppy dance numbers of them talking about how Marilyn Monroe liked to have a lot of sex.
Yeah. Like, I'm happy to watch a show. I need more.
All right, but I mean, I don't want to be too negative. There are definitely a lot of things working well that I am impressed by, and it keeps me coming back. So
yeah, definitely.
Let's get into the first episode, Enter Mr. DiMaggio.
Okay, well, how would you grade this, Dan?
You know, it's hard. I definitely think this is the lowest point of the season that we've had.
Yeah, I agree.
I guess I'd give it a B-.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how do you feel?
I was going to say C+. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's mostly the music was not up to snuff.
Yeah.
But also...
The story itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. Well, I mean, which parts of the story? Because I'm trying to think back. I mean, like it wasn't like anything was majorly wrong.
No, it was just kind of dull. It was like they needed an episode to lump all these things together.
Yeah,
it did.
I mean, I liked Eileen's like dealing with the money thing.
I'm enjoying Eileen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't think. I mean, I didn't have any issues with Derek's storyline or the Ella's storyline. I guess it's really mostly
Derek.
What?
Yeah, Michael Swift really bothered me. Karen going to Iowa was a little dull.
Yeah, like, again, there was nothing wrong with that storyline.
No, yeah.
It's kind of like there. Yeah.
It just had to be done, and they all had to be done in the same episode.
Yeah.
That was all. Ivy and Derek kind of upset me, too. It was a little forced. It didn't feel realistic enough.
Well, okay, the other thing, I mean, the whole Derek... thing. I don't understand Derek's character.
Yeah, we're not getting enough of it. It's too undertony.
Yeah, it's a lot in the subtext, and it's almost too in the subtext, because why is he... because you're supposed to assume that he's just this jerk who's gonna cheat on her or whatever.
Yeah.
Why is he going back to... I thought he was just gonna hook up with her once and then that would be it.
Yeah, is he amoral or what?
Why is he caring enough to lie?
Because he wants more sex, I assume.
Why when we were introduced to him, I thought of him as someone who, wants sex, but not from the same person more than once or twice.
Yeah.
You know, like... I didn't, like, why is he putting up this front of their dating?
It's true. Like, we keep hearing from different people, he's amoral, he's a bad person, he's evil, all that.
Yeah.
And yet, we don't see any of it. We just hear about
it. I mean, what he did in the first episode to Karen, I can identify as evil.
It's very small, though, I don't know.
Yeah.
We need a bunch of huge things to agree with all the other characters that he's bad.
Yeah, and I don't really know, like, is he, I don't know, it's weird. I mean, because he also, like, he stands up for Eileen at the end of episode 2 and doesn't take the thing with Jerry.
Yeah.
And, like, he, like, offers, I mean, I guess he's offering Karen the ensemble thing so that he can keep trying to get with her.
Yep.
But, like, he seems to actually have, like, faith in her ability. He seems to have genuine faith in her abilities, not just, like, I'm just saying this to say it.
Yeah. So he doesn't seem that bad.
Yeah. So I don't really...
Oh, no, I can't figure that out.
Yeah, I don't really get what his angle is and why he keeps going back to Ivy.
Yeah.
What the point of that is. Especially when, like... It's not like he's trying to hide the secret that they had sex or anything, because everybody knows.
Everyone knows, like, yeah. It's
like... I guess... Wait, does... Yeah, oh, yeah. What's her name? Karen does find out in, I think, episode 4. So yeah. You've even seen it, so everybody knows.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. But let's get into the specifics.
Okay.
Where do you want to start?
We can start with Karen going to Iowa.
Okay.
So she goes to Iowa for her friend's baby shower. Mm-hmm. And at first she doesn't want to go because she's not, like, she's worried about the money and everything. But Dev is really sweet. Like always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's this whole issue she has here where she wants to take the ensemble position, but she knows that it pays very little, mm-hmm. and she doesn't want Dev to be taking care of her.
Yeah.
She wants to be able to, like, do it on her own, and so she doesn't know whether to go because of the money, and then when she's there, she has nowhere to, still doesn't know where to take the job because of the money, because...
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting thing. I mean, how would you feel about a Dev, you know, situation? Like, do you
I don't know if I'd ever be in this situation, but yeah. I think if I could, you know, if I had this talent and I went to do this crazy career where I wasn't going to get a lot of money in the beginning, and I found a guy who was, like, really into me and would support me,
yeah,
I think that's a very nice thing, and it puts, like, this kind of trust on the relationship. So yeah. I like it.
I think it's an interesting story to tell because, I mean, on the one hand, you know, he's obviously just being so genuine about it,
yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you don't want to, like, feel like you owe the person something. Like, what if something, like, happens in the relationship and, like, you feel like, how can I possibly?
Yeah, you have to have a strong relationship before that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have been dating for that long and you completely trust each other, there is no paying back. You just know, you know, it's just through your relationship.
Yeah, I mean, the other issue is too is, I mean, just maybe just wanting to be able to prove it to yourself that you can do it on your own.
Yeah.
But I mean, I definitely am of the camp that if I were in that sort of situation, you know, you have to just take whatever help people offer to you.
Yeah, in that situation, you just have to do it.
And I'm wondering whether we're supposed to assume at the end of this episode that her father hands her such a large check that she doesn't need help from Dev anymore.
I know, I can't think that. Must be.
I mean, kind of gets dropped after that, so.
But I feel like Dev would be insulted, you know? Because he offered and then she declines to take his money.
Mm. Well, I mean, I guess if the dad gave the money without her asking, I don't think Dev would be, like,
upset. Too upset.
Yeah.
Dev is never upset. More than, like, 5 seconds.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I agree that this whole storyline was very, It was definitely one of those transition-y storylines.
Yeah.
It was there to build the character for her to, like, have to decide, is this the path she wants to take?
Yeah.
And, you know she's going to take it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was sort of nice to see a little more with her family, and to see her with friends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't, like, hate it by any means, because, I mean, I like her character and I like what she goes through. It's very slow, and it doesn't... I'm not saying we'll never see those people again, but, like, it doesn't really matter for the future. It's just...
Yeah.
But let's get into finding the role for Mr. DiMaggio.
Yeah.
And actually, before we specifically get into that, I guess maybe remember, I don't understand this whole ensemble business. Does that mean that, like, the other people... They're only casting 2 people for this show? Does that mean everybody else will have, like, multiple roles or something?
Well, ensemble is the chorus, basically. They still want to say it because it's, like, insulting.
Yeah, okay, but then...
Like, who else is going to be...
What are the other characters in this musical?
I guess those are the 2 big ones, and usually, I guess you would cast, like, the side characters later on.
Is that because it's a workshop? Is that how it...
I think that's what it is. But, I mean, at the same time, all the numbers we've heard...
Yeah.
All they have is duets, you know, or solos. So, I don't know.
I mean, I'm kind of unclear on, like...
You mean, Mr. President, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and what about... I mean, I guess this isn't, like, a spoiler. In episode 5, there's a number but they, like, do it the way they would fully do it in the musical.
Yeah.
And, like, people are, like, saying lines. Like, people in the ensemble are, like, saying lines, and there's, like, someone who's, like, being the director, and, like, so, I mean, like, I guess they...
Maybe they're gonna choose characters out of the ensemble? Maybe yeah. That's how a workshop works?
That's possible, yeah.
I don't know. I just don't know enough, yeah.
Because I'm kind of... I mean, if they're writing the whole... the idea is that they're writing the whole script, so I'm assuming that you need other people to read the lines.
Like, yeah. That's about that yeah, I don't know.
Reason, though.
Because ensemble is just usually the background people.
Yeah.
But
maybe a workshop. I guess workshops, I guess, are things that most people don't know much about.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
All right, but back to DiMaggio. We get Michael Swift.
Ooh, nice name.
Yeah, that is a odd name.
He sounds like a superhero.
Swift is not a good name for a man.
That's funny.
It just sounds like...
There are some last names that just don't work for both genders.
He just sounds like a silly, like, he's like a... He sounds like a cartoon or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
How do you feel with this actor and this... in this character?
Well, the problem is we saw him at a Bruno Mars musical. I don't really know, like, how I can judge him after that. I was so confused. I didn't know how this guy was playing Bruno Mars. If you look at the two of them, they look nothing alike. I don't know. That was weird.
Yeah, I agree that that was a very strange
instruction
for him. I don't know whether it was playing for laughs.
I was laughing.
I don't know whether what they were attempting there.
No, I don't know.
It was very odd. I mean, I know it could have just been a satire of, like, look at how ridiculous musicals have gotten and things musicals out of. But, like, it just seems ridiculous. And the fact that, like, they put that on iTunes and, like, expect people to pay money for it.
Exactly.
I mean, beyond that, he just... He hasn't really... I feel like the... Anything that I like about him, I feel like is coming from the actor. Because he has, like, sort of, like, mannerisms and, like, ways he sort of smiles in interesting ways. And, like...
Yeah.
And I feel like he's charismatic, but the character himself hasn't really had much of a characterization beyond he wants to hook up with Julia again.
Yeah, I agree. I like the actor, but I don't know about the character yet.
Yeah. I mean, he's depicted in this episode with this kid and this, I don't know if it's his wife or if his, his wife or girlfriend, but, and then just this entire storyline is about him and Julia.
We'll see.
What do you feel about that?
Oh, him and Julia.
Yeah.
Well, like we said before, like, I just don't have enough connection to Julia to care enough.
Yeah.
But... it puts another strain on my relationship with Julia.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, oh, now I don't like her anymore. She doesn't have any likable qualities, even for an anti-hero. You know, there's like, I just don't like her.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean,
she doesn't feel useful to me whenever she's helping out Tom.
Yeah.
I can't find anything good about her. I think the family stuff, I think I'd like to see more of that.
The only good thing about her has been her sticking up for Karen.
Yeah. Yep.
And I guess
it was very small.
She cared about her family, but apparently not enough.
Yeah, I need more. I don't care about her enough.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Ivy.
Mm-hmm. So she's in her relationship with Derek, but she's all worried about it, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, he never... invites her to his place instead of hers or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's also, like, I don't know, he's not very, like, talking about his feelings and stuff. I don't know.
No.
I don't really... Does she... the thing about Ivy... I mean, I don't... I think they've done, like, a weird thing with Ivy. Like, because I don't like her, but they explain her enough... I see where
you can understand. Yeah.
So I don't hate her.
Oh yeah, it's much better than Julia. Like I understand where Ivy's coming from. I just don't like her, and that's fine. And I would like to see that kind of person.
Yeah.
I'm interested, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of like it does. I have to say though, the Ivy Derek relationship from Ivy's side annoys me because I guess to get him annoyed with her for going back after him. It's like, okay, he obviously is a lying dick, so like,
yeah.
Why do you care about him so much?
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay, and so then there's the big, and I'm really surprised this happened this early on, that Tom finds out that Ivy and Derek are having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that talks about the maturity of the show in a way.
Yeah.
That, you know, like, it's not like this huge, big deal that they're just like, ah, it happens.
And people have sex, yeah.
Which, I mean, I thought that that was going to be, like, a big deal because, like, he might have...
Because she got the part.
Yeah, for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But I guess it's Broadway. It's the way it works sometimes. I don't know.
Oh, is and so that leads into a mini fight with Tom and Julia because Julia's all upset, and then she ends up telling Tom about the affair.
Yeah.
And then Ellis overhears that. So that's a good point for him. Okay, but do you want to talk about Eileen?
Okay. Yeah. So she's having trouble getting money for the musical, and no one wants to work with her without her, like, ex-husband
Jerry
working with her. Yeah. That's really funny. It's sad. I feel so bad for her.
Yeah, it also, it really reminds me, like, he's not it's almost uncle. I have my aunt, has been going out with this guy for a long time, and he's, like, one of those, like, really rich, like, really well-connected Jewish guys that remind me a lot of Jerry, but he's a lot nicer than Jerry, but but, like, I totally see, like, they all just, like, were working with him because of, like, the Jewish connection, and it really it really reminds me of that. They all just have, like, faith in him, and they don't seem to have faith in her.
Yeah, I think it would be a nice, like, feminist kind of thing by the end.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting story.
Yeah.
I do have to say, and I don't know whether I like this or dislike it, the whole throwing stuff in his face thing.
I know, I'm so sick of it.
It happened, okay, the first time it happened, it was like, whatever. It happened like 3 times in this episode.
She always does it whenever she sees him, yeah.
And, I mean, I guess I'll give them props for, like, attempting some light, because I remember I said I wanted some lighter, funner moments.
Yeah.
I wanted some comedy.
That was supposed to be it.
So that was supposed to be it, so I'll give them that, at least that they're doing something like that.
Yeah.
But it was a bit excessive and seemed really cartoony by the end.
Yeah.
All right, and then
there's a little interaction between Derek and Dev, and of course, I am an Anglophile, so I'm obsessed with British people, and this was wonderful because they had like a little British off, and they're like, oh, I went to Oxford, oh, I went to the other school. That was very adorable. I was very happy to see that. That was my comedy.
Yeah, no, that was a good little scene.
Yeah.
I don't know. So Dev doesn't know about the night, right? I've been kind of unclear on that.
I think he knows that, like, I think he trusts her enough that nothing happened.
Yeah.
But I think he's still like, oh, I know something happened.
But yeah, it was good to see them interact. And I mean, I really like Derek, and I wish the Ivy thing would end so that he could.
Oh, I really like Dev, so it's okay. Perfect boyfriend.
Do you think that this is a show that, like, is leading to, like, season 2 or 3, a Derek and Karen relationship?
I wonder. Something has to happen between Dev and Karen because it's just too perfect for TV.
Yeah. No, definitely.
Which is so sad because I'm so happy. It makes me happy watching them.
Well, I mean, it could always, you know, break up and then get back together.
Yeah, but they're so perfect.
Yeah.
I don't want anything bad to happen to them.
Yeah, it's well. I mean, that's what the drama would come from, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, but let's talk about Ellis.
Okay. Yeah, we touched on it earlier, but let's. So he steals Julia's notebook.
Yeah, and they have a lot of back and forths in this one.
Yeah. Julia yells at him. It's like, oh, I could fire you, but he's Tom's assistant, so really she can't. And
I have to, the main reason I don't like Julia is because whenever she yells at Ellis, she, like, looks evil. Like, like, her face contorts into this gross, like, leaf. Like, not, like, it's like, ew.
When she yells, I don't like her because she's not making any sense. She can't fire him.
Yeah.
At least, like, say something actually threatening. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah, I don't know.
Well, okay, so then we'll go on to Ellis blackmailing her.
Okay, I don't...
The affair.
What you wrote down, I don't think is true.
Well, I don't know, yeah.
No. He doesn't actually blackmail her with the affair.
He blackmails with the notebook, right?
He blackmails her. I don't think he tells her about knowing about the affair. I spent a couple of weeks, guys, so I apologize if we're...
I don't think he's said anything yet, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he can.
I think he just, like, stands up to her, which I liked. I liked that he was being, like, manipulative and, like...
Yeah.
You know, kind of skeezy.
Yeah. But. He's dating a girl, and I'm so... I'm so upset he has to be gay. For Tom.
I actually really like... If he's bi, which I hope he is, I think...
Oh, I hope
I think
so.
I think that was a good drag convert
that. Yeah, that was interesting. I liked that.
And I thought it was interesting seeing him, like, with his friends and...
Yeah, how he interacts differently.
Yeah, they were like, you know, you should be getting paid for that idea and everything.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
How old is he? He seems so young. They were, like, hanging out on the docks. I was like, okay, guys.
Hanging out on the docks.
You're not 16, I don't think.
Well, I thought I can sort of picture, like, 23-year-olds, like, going to a bar and then, like, after they leave the bar, going to the dock. I don't know.
It seems funny.
I think it's because they live in New York City.
Yeah, it's just a different lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well. Yeah, it's, I don't know. All right.
Talk about the songs?
Yeah.
Let's talk about them a little bit, but, so we had Grenade. That was the Bruno Mars song.
I've never liked that song.
Oh, I like that song. He didn't do it very well. He could have done it better.
It was just weird. I don't know if I blame him.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, when I'm with my friends, we have one girl who will scream the song all the way through whenever it's on the radio, and it's the funniest thing. So that song, like, is funny to me.
Yeah.
Already. But yeah, I don't know. He didn't make it strong enough for me. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, how about Redneck Woman?
It's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, it's not my kind of song either. I did. It was entertaining. I wouldn't listen to it if it wasn't in the show. Like,
Yeah, I didn't like. I wasn't like disgusted by it or.
Yeah, it worked in the song in the episode, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there was only three songs, so the other one is Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and Don't Get Me Started. I hate the song.
Really? You hate it? Full on hate it.
It was so bad. So poorly written. It did not work. It was not a song I would ever want to hear in a musical.
Yeah.
It sounded like a paragraph.
I didn't hate it as much as you did, but yeah. I mean, it was the lamest ending of an episode that we had, probably. Yeah. But, it was sweet. I don't know.
I went back, because I do like musicals. I don't know a lot about musicals, but I went back and I have a, like, playlist on my iTunes, and I looked at Les Miserables and Legally Blonde the Musical, which I think would be similar to this one, and Anything Goes and all those, and none of the songs are that specific, and I hate specificity in songs, and any type of song. I hate when they have, like, names of people in songs. That's how bad I am about it. I hate when they're like, oh, Joe, I love you. I'm like, no, just make it simple so I can relate. It was just too specific, I think.
Yeah, I can sort of see that. I mean, I think there are definitely songs and musicals that are that specific, but
yeah.
I
need to look further, but
yeah. I personally, every time I've heard Let Me Be Your Star, each time I hear it, I love it more. And I actually think that the lyrics in that are really good.
Yeah.
I don't think that the other songs have been up.
That one's better. I like I Never Met a Wolf Who...
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. It's upbeat. It's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll get
the problem with that is I don't know something about it. I just like I wouldn't. I'm never gonna buy that song.
Yeah,
it was fun in the episode.
Yeah.
And we're getting ahead of ourselves, but
Let's go into the fourth episode.
Yes, the cost of art.
Oh, look at us. Well, what would you grade it?
I think I want to give it. Oh God, you go first.
Oh man, I gotta think. I guess because of all the songs and. There are a lot of good stories. I think I'd give it an A- or an A, even. I just enjoyed it.
I can't decide between a B and a B plus. I think I'm giving it a B plus.
I can't think of anything wrong.
Yeah, that's why I feel bad giving it that low. But yeah, there's just something about it. I just felt my enthusiasm after this episode, and I will say that after the fifth episode, it was restored. But after the fourth episode, I was just kind of like, this show isn't as great as I thought it was. The energy, I kind of like lost. Because there wasn't any momentum. It just felt like another one of those fillery episodes. Like what happens in this episode, really?
Yeah. We need more momentum.
It's an interesting episode. This was the episode where I was really feeling the effects of there's no goal in mind. There's no connecting.
I can give it B plus, A minus, maybe.
I mean, if you enjoyed it, you enjoyed it. But
yeah, I
did. I do say that the things that happened were fun to watch, and and it sort of settled into what it's going to be from here on out with the whole beginning the workshop and everything.
Mm-hmm. I do realize though that I did pause it and I went to class for 3 hours and I didn't think about it until I got back to my dorm. Yeah. So that's not good. I need to be thinking about it forever, you know.
So how do you want to start? I mean, I think I want to talk about the workshop and how this episode starts off.
Yep.
And you know what? Part of my issue was with the beginning of this episode, with the whole high school thing that's going on here.
Yeah.
That really weirded me out.
Yeah.
The level of hazing on Karen for no reason felt very excessive and childish, and I didn't want Ivy to be that character.
Yeah.
Thought that Ivy wasn't going to be that character, and I was proud of them. And I mean, at least it's a little better than what other people would do, because, you know, you understand why she's being that way, because she's insecure and everything.
Yeah.
But I just don't want her to be the bitchy blonde.
Yeah.
So, I don't, how do you feel about this?
It is annoying, but I feel like it's true. It seems like that would be the case at a Broadway workshop.
Well, my issue with it is, I'm trying to see how other people are how people are seeing it, because my feeling is this girl already lost out on the chance of a lifetime. You already beat her. Yeah. Why do you have to make her feel like crap now that she's already alone?
It's so true.
I guess I guess what we're supposed to come away from this is that that Ivy was right, and that she really was being too loud and being too crowdy, and that she wasn't being
But she is a star, and that's the problem with putting her in an ensemble.
Yeah, I guess if they're all supposed to be Ivy's friends, I find that kind of annoying too.
Yeah, but I mean, Karen is new in the town, and she will figure it out that when you're an ensemble, you can't shine.
So yeah, I mean, I guess the idea of the people, of the friends, with the rest of the ensemble is that, you know, she didn't get the part, so she's gonna try to push to show that she's better than her, and so they're all annoyed with her or whatever.
The problem is that they kind of gave the message. I was a dancer, and I've mentioned this on our other podcast, but I did solo dancing and group dancing in competition. And when you're in a group, it's not run as slow as the slowest person or whatever.
Yeah.
It's as good as the best person.
Yeah.
Karen is the best. The rest of the ensemble should be beat up to her. Yeah. Not the other way around.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about this to whether to agree or disagree.
Imagine you have an ensemble of dancers and you have a couple ranging skills, but everyone there is the best of the best. It's Broadway.
Yeah.
You have to compete, be as good as you can be and go further than that, so everyone can be on the same high level, not the same low level.
I sort of see where they're coming from with the singing, where, the voice that should be standing out should be Ivy's.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
That you should be, a background singer. You shouldn't be belting. For the dancing, it did seem like she was sort of... I don't know if the issue was that she was... that she should be less good, but it's more that she was putting the spotlight on herself.
Yeah,
she was kind of pushing her way, the way her body was facing the audience.
Yeah, she turned to the audience instead of Ivy. Yeah, yeah. Supposed to be more of a prop.
So it's an interesting, I mean, I guess there wasn't really, I guess my issue was more with me, was more of the way I was viewing it, because I just didn't get it. I was like, why is everybody acting this way? And I think the more I talk about it, the more I sort of get it. I did really enjoy how she stood up for herself and was active and dealt with her problem and, you know, had that outburst to that friend and was like, I can't believe you guys are being so bitchy or whatever.
And I love following that. I like how they all, like, had an intervention for her and she gets her wardrobe, like,
okay. Now that was another issue I had. I liked the, like, the friends, like, hanging out and then, like, teaching her and, like, going to the bar or whatever.
Yeah.
The wardrobe thing I felt was odd.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I was like, geez, this is... I mean, I guess maybe I just am not old enough to realize that the entire life is, like, high school. but, like... What is wrong with what she's been wearing? She's been wearing normal. I don't get it.
I don't mind her clothes, but I think it is a high school thing, and it's cute that they went and did it. You know.
I guess I just like if I just got pissed off that they like just thought that was necessary.
She's
had normal, fine clothing. Why she had to wear like nice clothing to work out in and like.
Yeah.
And, like, they're all poor, so that's the other thing that felt untrue to me. Like, they're like, we have to go buy, like, nice expensive shit. And it's like, they're all poor ensemble people who are working in the same workshop but getting the same amount of money. Like, what?
I was watching this show on USA once. I stopped watching it, but it was about, like, what is it called? Suits? It was called Suits. It was about law, like a law firm. And there's this kid... And he just wears, like, a regular suit that he got, you know, from Sears or whatever. Because he's a poor college student or whatever. And then they're like, no, you have to wear a designer suit and everything. It's just the way the business is run, I guess. I think that's an interesting concept in a lot of careers.
Okay, but that in that career, you have it's all about presenting yourself as, like...
Oh.
No, when you're dancing in the workshop, you have to...
You're presenting yourself to the director and to the... choreographer and the writers and
but they're not the
producer.
The people who have issues with her are the rest of the ensemble.
That too, but even in a law firm, you know, you want to be the most impressive person.
Yeah.
You know, I think it doesn't matter what career it is, you have to be impressive to everyone. If it's a competitive sort of cutthroat thing.
Pisses me off.
I like those cutthroat careers. Dance and law together. I mean, those are great. You have to always be on edge.
No wonder you're like Legally Blonde musical.
Oh, such a good musical.
I mean, but aside from that, I mean, the storyline ends up with them. I thought that the filming or the whatever it was, the ending with when they're dancing, the rumor has it.
Yeah.
It didn't seem to me at all like she was. I was very confused. Was she supposed to be doing what they told her to do in that ending?
Yeah, she didn't, because she sung her own piece and everything. No.
She completely...
It did that wrong.
I mean, so is the idea that in... I was confused. I was like, is this supposed to be like a fantasy thing where in her head, she's like, this is what I really want to be doing, but in real life, she was actually doing background dancing?
I have no idea.
Because even before she like broke out and was like singing her own song, she was still the one in the front.
Yeah.
So I was like, what?
Yeah.
Though, I don't know. All right, well, let's talk about the rest of the storyline.
Okay.
So Derek's hosting this big party for Lyle West, who's Nick Jonas.
He's like a childhood star, they say, yeah. Yeah, I didn't know it was Nick Jonas until I looked it up after.
Yeah, I mean, I knew because of the ads for the week before.
Oh, yeah.
So, do you know anything about Nick Jonas? Have you like heard him sing? Oh, yeah, you should have known it was Nick Jonas because he mentioned it on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, I should have known, shouldn't I? And we said he did Les Mis.
Yeah.
I know him from that.
Yeah.
I know him from Les Mis.
I had never really heard him sing before. But
oh, he's good in Les Mis.
Did you not like him in this?
Well, we didn't have much of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he was fine. Something about, actually, like, the first song he does, and I guess we can just kind of talk about it now if you want, whatever it's called, Just Haven't Met You Yet, I think it's called.
Yep. It's Michael Bublé.
Yeah. It sounds a lot better. Like, I listened to the preview on iTunes. It sounds a lot better on there. I think it sounded like there wasn't like a fully recorded version on the episode.
Yeah, that was a problem.
Yeah. But he was fine.
Mm-hmm.
So that just, like, sets up this, like, hub for everybody to meet there and to try and, like, get his money and stuff.
Yeah.
So we have the resolution to the money story, or at least for now, the resolution to the money storyline with Eileen selling him a painting as, like, an investment or something.
Degas.
Yeah.
I like Degas.
Yeah, so, I mean, I liked that whole aspect to it, her, like, sort of, like, buttering him up and...
Yeah, that was cute.
And him being, like, savvy enough to know what he's talking about.
Yeah, he knows what's going on, yeah. But he still goes along with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to tackle the Derek side
thing? Yeah, so, Ivy's all jealous because she sees Derek with all these girls at the party.
Mm-hmm.
And he
like
says...
Like, one girl that he touches her ass.
No, like, one girl, okay. And so, like... Ivy goes and gets jealous, and she sleeps with Lyle, who...
Okay, I don't think they actually sleep.
Okay, because seriously, they're like, I'm going to show you the bedroom, and earlier he was like, oh, look at this 15-year-old. He's like, no, I'm 12. And I was like, I can't figure this out.
Yeah, how? I have no idea how old that
kid is. I don't know how old he is. I'm sure he's not 12, like,
he
really.
He looks like 19 to me.
I think he was supposed to be sarcastic when he said 12, but I think that's what I thought in my head, but at the same time... I wasn't sure.
Okay, so I'm going to guess that the character is supposed to be, like, 20.
Yeah.
And that he's supposed to be, like, 30.
Yeah. Okay.
Isn't
that's a little better.
A little weird.
Yeah. But anyway, well, Derek's flirting, and he's like, oh, Ivy, don't worry. It's just so I can get money for the show for you guys. And it's another lie, I think, that he makes. And
I just don't even know why he's bothering.
I know, right?
Get it.
Maybe he's. It's the thrill of lying, though.
Maybe.
I think that's what it is. He likes seeing Ivy be strung along.
Part of my issue, I just wish he was a better liar, too.
Yeah, I know. Because we understand. Like, we can see that it's a lie.
Yeah, it's, like, really stupid lies. Like, that stupid thing about the house with, like, the pipes being messed up or whatever.
Yeah, oh, you're not off my house because the pipes are messed up and I'm embarrassed by that. Okay.
Like, that's so cliche and silly.
Yeah.
Like, I actually, my first screenplay for the year... that I wrote for my class is about a pathological liar. And so I had a lot of trouble because most of the things I was thinking of, I was like, I couldn't come up with non-stereotypical ways of getting out of things. And I was like, you have to be able to, and they're not doing this. If you're writing someone who's intelligent and smart and is a good liar, you have to be able to write someone who's smarter than you are.
Yeah.
And that's a really difficult task.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But I don't think that they're making him as smart as I'd like him to be.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, well, before, I just want to ask real quickly, I mean, it's kind of out of order, but would you like to see Lyle again? I don't even know if he's, like, able to be shown again.
I know, yeah, I like him, though.
Yeah, I thought he was a fun addition.
I'd like to see more of him, yeah.
I like someone who's a little bit younger.
Younger, that's what I was going to say, too.
And then Alice shows up with his girlfriend.
Yes, yeah, Cinderella, whatever.
City.
Yeah, but I thought that because when I was listening, I was like, S-I-N or C-Y-N?
Sin, his girlfriend Sin.
Sin, so I thought that was a weird nickname. But
that is funny.
Because I made a big fuss about it. Everyone calls me Sin, don't call me whatever her real name is, Cindy or something.
Oh boy.
Cynthia, that's it. Yeah.
And so then we also have the introduction to this storyline about Tom and his relationship with this law guy.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this?
Oh, I think it's cute. Is there anything to like or not like? well, it was fine.
Is it a storyline that you will care about seeing again in the future? Or
yeah.
And how do you feel about the character?
I like Tom, and I want to see more of him doing stuff other than writing songs.
Yeah.
So I'm happy. You know?
And I'm also coming with this from seeing episode 5, too. In this episode 4, I thought it was kind of extraneous, and I didn't really want that Tom's only storyline to be him just going on a date with a gay person because he's gay. So, like, ooh, it's gay dating. Like, I still sort of feel that way, but it gets more interesting in episode 5. But I would just like Tom to get, like, a more meaty storyline.
Yeah.
I enjoy the fact that Tom sort of plays a role in a lot of the difference. Like, he has, like, mini roles in everybody's lives. So I appreciate, you know, like, he's good friends with Ivy, so I'm sure that will connect to the Derek stuff later.
Yeah. And,
you know, Julie, he knows Julia's secret, and he's Ellis works for him. Okay, we've seen very little Ellis-Tom interaction, even though there he's working for Tom.
I know, yeah. We're not getting any of that.
Yeah. Okay, what else do we...
Oh, I think that's all the plot points, but what about the songs?
Okay.
So we heard the 20th Century Fox Mambo again.
Yeah, so we get all these little... This is like the first episode where we get these little snippets of songs.
Yeah.
This, which I find really interesting. I enjoy that.
Yeah, I like that too.
So it's... And I don't mind hearing songs a couple times, which I thought maybe I would, but it doesn't seem to be an issue.
But just because they're snippets, I think it's a little bit easier.
Yeah.
The Fox Mambo was better this time because I only heard a piece of it. I liked this little just introduction-y kind of thing. Yeah.
All right. What's next?
History is Made at Night. You said you didn't remember this one that well, right?
I mean, they didn't sing the whole song, right?
Yeah. This is the most memorable to me. I really liked this piece.
Yeah, it sounded... I mean, I remember... what I think about... I mean, that title, I definitely, like, remember them seeing those words. Yeah. I'm just trying to remember the rest of it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm sure they'll come back to it.
I mean, once they started singing this one, I'm like, okay, look at that. They can write music. I was worried before. And then here's the Michael Bublé, Just Haven't Met You Yet.
I mean, I really liked it on iTunes. I'm probably going to buy it. I haven't bought it yet.
Yeah. It's funny, just this year, Michael Bublé seems to be getting a lot of fame, at least in my college, and all the girls like it, all the guys think they can get girls with Michael Bublé, so I thought that was good for them to do it in Smash.
Yeah. Then what's next?
I never met a wolf who didn't love to howl.
So this is the big number.
Yeah. I liked it.
I liked it, too. I did think he was a little bit... I wanted it to be more specific to the fact that he's supposed to be addressing the army.
Yeah.
I thought that the lyrics felt very the song itself was a fun song. It was a great in the show. It was a really fun thing to watch. It was a great little number, and everybody was having fun and they're at the party and everything.
Yeah.
But the lyrics just kind of felt. You know, oh, we're talking about sex again.
Yeah, I know.
And I kind of wanted it to be more, just make more mention of, the army and, say, things about, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
I liked it, but at the same time, I realized I would never walk around singing this song.
Yeah.
It's just too weird.
Yeah.
But it was nice.
It wasn't, yeah, it's definitely, it's a unique song, and I enjoyed it in the episode.
And then we close with Rumor Has It by Adele.
Which... I mean, she doesn't really even...
No, but we have the, dance and everything.
Yeah.
And, oh, Karen is such a good singer.
Yeah, and the dancing's good. It's interesting, too, that we're already getting crossover songs between Glee and Smash.
Yeah.
And in episode 5, that happens again. So I thought that was kind of funny. I mean, there's a lot of songs out there. I mean, I know Glee's done.
Yeah, a lot of them, but still. It's funny.
But yeah, I mean, the dancing was good.
That's it.
Not a whole lot to say there, but
no.
So episode 5, I'm hoping to do it before episode 6 airs. So that we can be, right on track, and every week, I'm gonna hope that we can post them Mondays before the new episode happens.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That would be the hope. we'll see if that happens.
We'll try.
We're very busy and everything, but we're gonna do our best. Wow, we managed to do this in 50 minutes, even though it was a double episode.
Perfect. I have class with
you. Oh yeah. Okay. So I mean, there's not much more to say. We'll have episode 5 coming soon before episode 6. Episode 6, the trailer was really silly. it was one of those they said the dish hits the fan.
I don't even know what that means.
As in, dishing about gossip.
Oh, I see.
It's all this crazy gossip goes.
I'm thinking of people throwing plates in the air and then they hit the fan and they.
I don't even know what dish they're talking about, because everybody already knows about Ivy and Derek having sex, and half the people already know about Julia and.
Maybe there's just a lot of little rumors going around, you know how everything happens behind stage. And
they should have kept Rumor Has It for.
Oh, look at that! Too late now.
Yeah. All right. So just let's just wind this up. So please, please, please review us on iTunes, or if you don't want to go through the difficult process of
so difficult,
five
guys.
Sentences,
you a should lot of typing.
Click the rating, star grading thing, and that would be very nice to do. And please email us. We'd love to get an email from you guys at thesmashpodcast@gmail.com. You know, just your thoughts with the episodes, how you feel like the show's going overall. I also just checked that the ratings for episode 5 went up to 7.9 million viewers. So that's up 1 million viewers. So very good there.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'd like to hear from you. thesmashpodcast@gmail.com. Pretty please. It'd be nice. Mm-hmm. And if you want to visit the blog, it's thesmashpodcast.blogspot.com. And I think that's everything.
Yep, that's everything.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Call the justice of the peace, but don't tell him our names. Don't put out a press release or mention baseball games.
Book the nearest bridal suite. One room will suit us fine. For the desk clerk that we meet, the only autograph we'll sign is Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Simply the folks next door. People without a single clue what an agent or grip is for.
Yes,
nothing can beat the view when as far as the eye can see, there's no one but Mrs.
No one but Mr. Smith.